A salary is the drug they give you when they want you to forget about your dreams.
Welcome to the Corporate Dropout Podcast. I'm your host, Alessia Citro. After a successful career in tech, suffering from burnout, stress, and anxiety, I walked away from a multiple six-figure career to chase my passions and purpose as a coach and entrepreneur. This show is going to inspire, equip, and empower you to do the same. Let's get it. Hello, friends. I'm so excited for today's episode interviewing Sandy and Wade Critides. They are highly successful serial entrepreneurs. In addition to a sizable rental property portfolio, the Getting Magnetic podcast, which you all need to listen to, and the 90-Day Cycle to New Habits Journal, which is a planner for network marketers that's been hugely impactful for me and my team. And oh, by the way, it's pacing to sell a million copies. They are also in the top 1% of their network marketing company. And I have to say, honestly, they are among the best leaders and community builders that I have ever met. What I admire most about these two, however, are their hearts, the way they genuinely care for others and those they lead. And we haven't known each other very long. We were introduced by a mutual friend less than 6 months ago, but in that time, they have become dear, dear friends. So Sandy and Wade, welcome, and thanks so much for coming on the Corporate Dropout Podcast.
Oh my gosh, we are so excited to be here.
So
what an intro.
The best brand too, Corporate Dropout. That's like, I wear that like a badge of honor. I'm so proud of that.
Can we get like sweatshirts and beanies, Corporate Dropout?
Yeah, we might need some swag.
Well, I shouldn't maybe let this out of the bag just yet, but I am working on a trademark.
Oh,
great.
The cat's out of the bag. No, we're grateful to be here. We're so excited to connect with you. We live just down the road from Alessia. And so we were like, let's do this in person together, that like get that energy. Now, not without hiccups, though. We forgot our mics. And so I had to run back home and get it, pushing back our interview an hour and all the things. But that's kind of Corporate Dropout entrepreneurship style, right? Like nothing goes perfectly smooth, but if you stick with it, it's going to be amazing.
And because we are entrepreneurs, we had flexible schedules to where this was no biggie. So, mm-hmm. And now we get to be sitting across from each other at my dining room table. So super fun. So before we get into the business side of your lives, your love story is one of the best that I have ever heard. And you two literally are magnetic. Like the name of your podcast is so fitting because you are magnetic, right? Your story, when I heard it, gave me full body chills. So for the listeners who don't know you, Sandy and Wade were baby best friends. Your moms were hanging out while they were pregnant with you. And then you were together a lot as babies. And then Wade, your family moved back east when you were how old?
Two.
Two. Okay. And then you didn't see each other again until you were in your early 20s. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How old were you two when you finally saw each other again?
I think we actually did see each other in our teens, like a couple times, but yeah. We didn't like really reconnect till our early 20s. I think we were 23.
I know we saw each other in our teens because like we would visit each other every few years as families. And like, I remember one time we were at the Elliott's, Sandy's family, and we were playing hide and go seek with like the younger siblings, right? Most of them were younger. We were like 14 or so. So we're kind of in high school where you're kind of like, my family friend's kind of cute. And now, fast forward like 15 years down the road, Sandy's like, oh my gosh. Yeah. When we were playing hide and go seek, I was in the closet. Like, I hope Wade finds me here. Like, I don't know. We might start kissing. I don't know what'll happen.
What was the name of that game? 7 minutes in heaven.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think at that age, it's actually happening. I think it's more like awkward like yep. Not feeling it. So Sandy, when you told me the story, when you two were over for dinner a month or so ago, you told me the story of how you ended up getting more time together on that trip than you were supposed to.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what happened?
Yes, this is quite a story. So I'm a big believer that, often like your mess can become your message. And oftentimes there's always a dip before a pop, right? There's generally deep lows before there's going to be highs. And I honestly believe Wade and I would not be together if my mom was still alive, because basically the reason Wade and I reconnected in our early 20s is because my mom had unexpectedly passed away. And so I was grieving and I flew across the country to be with Jennifer, Wade's mom, because she was my mom's dearest friend. And I'm like, I just want to share stories with her and like connect with her. And I was only supposed to be there for like 3 or 4 days. And then I was scheduled to get on a train that was supposed to pick me up in Boston and take me to Philly to visit my aunt. And the exact train I was scheduled to get on crashed on its way to get me, which is insane. And So I spent an extra 4 days there, and that's when Wade and I discovered each other. And so it was this whole sequence of events. Like, I wouldn't have quit my job. I wouldn't have gone on that trip. Like, all these things that happened for Wade and I to be together, like, it's just, it's a pretty crazy sequence of events.
I think it's so beautiful too, because Sandy's perspective sometimes, especially in pain or loss, it takes time to heal, and you never fully heal, but to also understand the meaning maybe behind it. So, you know, when we talk about it now, and Sandy kind of talks about her mom bringing us together, she, you know, always says, she's like, I always wanted my mom to know my husband. And like, that broke my heart that that wasn't going to be true. But then I feel like she brought us together. I have full body chills down my spine. She brought us together. And I was like, oh my gosh, she was right in front of me the whole time. Like, she does know my husband. So like, we have peace with that. And I just think it's the most beautiful perspective. So Sandy is, you know, in our full story, I'm sure we'll share more, but a perfect example of like she said, your mess can become your message, and using, you know, pain to sprout into something beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. Well, you know, yesterday I recorded the first episode, and it was talking about victim versus victor mentality, right? So that one should drop next week. And you know, how things don't happen to you, they happen for you. Yes. Right? And I think that that's such a good example of that, like all of it. It's just so beautiful. So I wanted to lead in with that, because I think it just like, it perfectly encompasses just your, the vibe that the two of you have, and like the energy and the frequency. Like, I even have like a little, like kind of like electric buzz just being in the same room as you guys. Perfect thing to lead in with. Okay. So first business question is to you, Sandy. So you and I, we have a lot in common. We're both fire signs, Enneagram eights. And then another thing we have in common that we rediscovered when we were talking yesterday is that you and I have both had a lot of jobs, and quite a variety of jobs at that. So would you tell us a little bit about your background, like where you went to college, what did you major in, and then your career path prior to your current ventures?
Yes. So I was raised like very much being instilled in me that getting a four-year degree is like a non-negotiable, and school was definitely not something that came naturally to me. Like, I always sat in the front of the class and I took notes, and I was always like the leader of groups, and I did all the extra credit, and I went above and beyond. But like, I was a BC student. Like, I think I got an A once in like photography because I take good pictures, but like, but I knew it was important to my dad for me to go to college. So, I went to Cal State Fullerton, and, after college, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I'm like, okay, now what? but I did always kind of have this vision of being like in the weddings and events industry. So I was like, oh, if I could get a job at a nice like 5-star resort and work my way up, like that could be my path. So I got my first job out of college at the Ritz-Carlton in Laguna Niguel, and I worked there for a couple years. And honestly, like, it's a great company. But I quickly realized like, I am not cut out to be an employee like this for other people. And that's actually where I was working when my mom passed away. And then like life really shifted. And then I went on this journey of like, you know what? I want to make my mom proud, and she would want me to be happy, and I'm out of alignment. I am not happy. So I was actually unemployed for 8 months while I tried to find what my next move was. So then I hired a franchise consultant, and we did all these like personality quizzes and tests and different things to figure out like, what are my strengths? Kind of like strength finders, right? And we kind of narrowed it down to a few categories. And I was like, okay, I'm 23. At the time, I didn't feel that I was skilled enough to start anything on my own. I was like, if I could purchase like a brick and mortar franchise, it's kind of already established and running, and just like turn up the dial and make it 10 times better. And so that's what I did. I purchased a smoothie juice bar franchise, a popular nationwide brand here in San Clemente, actually. And I had that for 4 years. And I am so grateful for that experience. But personally, I would never want to go back to like brick and mortar ownership. Like, everything that goes into that, the overhead, the rent, the labor, the hiring, the firing, the inventory, the franchise fees, like it is nonstop headaches. You do not get a day off. So I did that for a while. And then Wade and I, you know, at this time we're like starting to date long distance, but he lived in Boston and I lived in California. That's 3,000 miles apart. So after 4 years, I was like, I need to be out there. So I moved to Boston with zero plan. Took me 6 months to sell my business. So I was literally running my juice bar from across the country. That was a nightmare. And I was like, I can't just be a stay-at-home girlfriend. Like, I need to get a job. But we were only going to live there for a year together. So I'm like, okay, let me just like find something to like fill my time and like meet people. So I'm 28 years old at this point in my life. And I start waitressing, I start nannying, I start taking like any odd jobs I can find. I even worked for a software sales company doing 175 cold calls a day. It was terrible.
Okay, so I had to do 100 cold calls a day my first sales job. And that was like, well, I don't work there anymore, so what do I care? It was like writing down fax numbers or disconnected numbers and like having that on a paper somewhere so that like when you needed to get a few more reps in, yes. You like had, like, I can't imagine doing 175. It was That's hardcore.
Nonstop. It was exhausting. And I only lasted there for 3 months. I'll never forget the day I quit that job. I literally skipped home. Skipped. Like, literally, like, you could have seen me. Like, I was like, like a gazelle, like hopping up in the air. Like, so yeah, I had that. And then, end of 2017, we moved back to California and I was like, now what? I still don't know what I'm going to do. Got my real estate license after failing the test and all the things. Finally got my real estate license, was only sold two businesses until I found our current venture, like, and launched my network marketing business. And so it's been quite a journey. Like, all that to say, like, I have had so many different jobs in so many different industries. And I'm so grateful because I feel like if I didn't have all those things, I wouldn't really value what I have in front of me. But yeah, it has not been like a perfect path.
I mean, I don't think anyone's path is perfect, right? Like, and success is not linear. And if you don't, like, weren't we having this conversation yesterday? Like, you can't appreciate the peaks without pits. Yep. Like, I'm so grateful that I used to have to smile and dial and pound the phone 100 times a day because now I value my freedom so much more than I would have, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I love
that. So Wade and I have very, different stories.
So you're up. So would love to hear more about your professional background. So where'd you go to school? What'd you major in? What was your career prior to going full-time as a lifestyle entrepreneur and joining Sandy in your network marketing business?
Yeah. So I remember growing up, always watching Sandy inspired, like, oh my gosh, she's an entrepreneur. She's owned this business and like grass is always greener, right? Meanwhile, Sandy's like, I got to manage these employees. Like I'm working 14 hours a day, whatever. But for me, I grew up, you know, I was born out here in California. You know, Sandy and I were baby best friends, but I grew up from two on in the Northeast of the US, or in the Boston area. And when I looked around, and I think from my upbringing, we didn't have a lot. So I was always like, I got to go make money. Like money is success. And when I looked around, who did I see was quote unquote successful? My early age definition of success just equated to dollar signs. And I was like, okay, there's these businessmen and okay, I got to go into business. So in high school, I was like, where can I go to business school? And I ended up going to business school, Bentley University. And while I was there, it was very focused, like finance or accounting, like this is the way. It's like almost funnels you into just corporate America and the working world. And I actually also got my master's degree there. So my undergrad was in economics, finance, and then I mastered in finance and I played football the whole way through. And then I get out into the working world, like, okay, I better put this to use. I just took out a bunch of student loans. I got my master's degree in finance. I better go into finance and just hit the ground running. And so my vision was like, okay, when I make six figures and I'll be successful. Like that was my early definition of success. So went into the working world, the corporate world with ambition and drive and focused on climbing the ladder and jumped, you know, started with one company, jumped to the next. And that was my opportunity. And I got to the point, you know, a few years in where I was making the six figures and living downtown in the nice apartment and driving the sports car and all the things. And I was like, wait, this is what I've been wanting and desiring and working towards. Like, I show up to it and I wasn't one of those people that like hated what I did. Like it was fine. I learned a good amount. It was okay with it, but I wasn't passionate about it. I wasn't loving it. So I kind of stepped back like, okay, I've reached that level of success that I was seeking. Like I was a VP at my finance firm. I was maybe 5 years into my career and making the six figures and doing all the things. I'm like, I'm not fulfilled. I'm not like as happy or fulfilled as I thought I would be. I feel like there's more out there for me. And that was a big you know, pivotal moment, because it's kind of like, I think a lot of times it's so easy to be day in, day out and just do the things and wake up and we're machines, right? We go to work and then we come home and we make dinner and we watch Netflix and we go to bed and do it all over again and wait for the weekend. I realized that was me. Like I was just on the hamster wheel or the rat race where I'd wake up, I'd maybe go to the gym in the morning. I'd go to work for someone else. I'd do the work that I wasn't necessarily passionate about, but I did literally just to get the paycheck. And for the 2 weeks vacation a year, someone else, like my CEO, told me when I had to be at work, how often I had to be at work, when I had to work on weekends, how much vacation time I got. I was like, wow, what control? I don't really have control over my time. And it really made me think like, okay, also I'll have to do this for the next like 3 decades to retire, like when I'm like 60 with my 401k. And I started to look at that model. I'm like, gosh, this is broken. Like the going to school, being in debt, climbing the corporate ladder until you're 60 and you can retire with your 401k, in which the majority of people don't have enough to retire. They then rely on their kids to like support them. I'm like, that's not for me. That's not the light. I'm not going down that path. And so I started to think, well, what should I do? I'm like, what is everyone doing? I have to do something different. Because if I want a different life, like I have to do something different. But it was hard because I was funneled into corporate America. So it was like breaking out of that was like, you're the leper, right? But it was that internal dialogue and search within like, what do I want? I had no idea, but I just started to lean into, instead of waking up and just checking my phone and sending out emails and on my way to work, like just putting out fires and responding to the world, let me get intentional. Like came across Hal Elrod's book, Miracle Morning, started to get intentional with my morning, started to read books or listen to podcasts or like listen to entrepreneurs. And I was like, whoa, my new definition of success is like having control over your life, being the CEO of your life and doing something you're passionate about that like makes a difference in the world. I had no idea what I would get into, but long story short, just started to take those steps and, you know, ultimately left corporate America to work with Sandy because I realized I wanted to help people. I wanted to impact the world. I wanted to leave a legacy, all the different things. And Sandy had started to do that right in front of my eyes. And I had taken some steps before that to after hours to start working towards the passion. And one thing leads to the next. I realized I always wanted to build a business with Sandy. I want to impact people. I want to control my time. I'm not afraid to work hard. I just want to work on my own terms and took the leap. And here we are. A few years later. Now there's a lot more to that story, but that's a high level.
We're going to get to that actually. You probably figured that though. Everything you said resonated so much with me. Like for me, the only option was like 4-year college, like get a 9-to-5, which it took me a little while to figure out the right one. And even then I'm like, well, no, like now I'm doing the 6 figures just like you. That was my like barometer of success. Like have all the stuff, like I realized part of what was keeping me in this role was not fulfillment or passion. It was the ego. It was like being able to say, I work for Google or I work for Salesforce, like that, you know, but at the end of the day, if you're not really serving, then it's, you know, what's the point, right? And it sounds like that's kind of a common theme for you too also. So 2 questions for both of you before we move on. The first one, just ballpark me, each of you, what percentage of what you learned in higher education do you use in your business today?
8%. I would say less than 10%.
Yeah.
I would say probably 5. Yeah. I tell my parents all the time, my main takeaway from undergrad is knowing how to use Excel. I don't know pivot tables. I'm not that sophisticated, but I am pretty darn good in Excel, but I could have learned that on YouTube instead of, you know, going to a 4-year private university. So that kind of sucked.
Yeah. But it wasn't the curriculum. It was more the social developing personal skills than it was in class anything.
Could not agree more. Same for me. Okay. Second question. Then we're moving on. When you were interviewing for corporate jobs, did anyone ask or care what your college GPA was?
I don't think so.
No, it got me in the door to some places and it wasn't even great. I realized it was just getting in the door. From there, it was out the window. And I interviewed a lot of people in corporate America, never cared about their GPA.
I was a hiring manager for about a year at Howe's. That was the first tech company I worked at. And that was something that, unless it was really, really poor. And at that point, it's like, why is this even on your resume? Like we did not ask and we didn't.
You know what? One of my uncles always told me, he goes, Wade, don't worry about the A's. The A students work for the C students. And I've started to see that. The entrepreneurs are the ones who think different. Maybe they didn't excel and get all A's in school. And the Ivy League a lot of times goes to get the big Wall Street gig job, but they're employees for the CEO who is the risk taker, the entrepreneur, the C student, the skipping class, dropping out, whatever. Like, I see that a lot now.
You just gave me an idea for another episode, which I read an article a couple of years ago that it's likely the valedictorian of your class is probably not up to much. So that will be something we'll talk about in a future episode.
But I'm curious.
All right. So getting to present day, you both burned the ships, so to speak. Sandy, can you tell us how you made your exit from the corporate world?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I feel like I really haven't been in corporate. And like, I feel like the Ritz was like my last real, like, well, I guess I did have the software sales thing. I've had little stints with it, you know, like, but honestly, I will tell you this quick story. I remember when I was working in downtown Boston on Boylston Street at that tech firm. I remember getting pinged by my manager who was like 5 years younger than me. And like, I was like, I have so much more life experience than you. And she said, work starts at 8:00. That means you're in your seat at 7:55 and you start hitting the phones at 8:00.
Oh my God. I just had flashbacks.
Oh my God. And when she said that to me, I literally was so infuriated. I'm like, you do not own me. Like, I literally responded and said, I'll be in your office in 5:00. And I was like, I know this isn't like the right way to do this. And this isn't like typically how I do things, but my happiness is completely shot because of this place. So I effective immediately no longer work here. And I packed my stuff. Aww. And I literally, before I did that too, I looked out the window at Boylston Street and I saw people like with shopping bags and strollers and people like smiling and laughing. And sunshine. it was the first sunny day in like months in Boston. And I was like, I deserve to be out there. I was like, I literally don't care if I have to go back to like waiting tables or anything else while I figure it out. I cannot do this anymore. That was the last time I worked for someone else.
I wonder if you were also influenced by the weather that day, because I lived in Chicago for 4 years and that would be an interesting statistic. How many people quit their job on the first like nice day of the year after winter?
That would be,
I bet it's pretty
high. There's a correlation.
Okay. So let me ask you too. Well, you already said, how did you feel the day that you quit? You were like skipping down the street.
It was the best feeling of all time. It was the best feeling of all time.
Like an elephant had come off your chest, right?
Well, you know what's funny though? Because I just told you, I was like, I'll do anything else to not do this. I got a job at this like really high-end, amazing restaurant like a week later. It's random how it fell into my lap, but my friend was like, oh my God, my buddy owns this really nice high-end, brand new, like hip sushi spot that's opening. And he's looking for like young waitresses and this and that. Like you could pick your schedule. And I was like, okay, cool. So my first day working, I'm shadowing with a waitress. I've never been a waitress, but I totally lied and said that I had because
I did that too. Yeah.
I wanted to get the job. Yep. And so I'm literally shadowing this waiter and guess who our first table is? It is the lady that I just quit with at my former job.
Yes, it is.
And
no
her five
way.
Higher ups. So there's six people at a round table. I'm pouring their waters and they're looking at me and they're like, Sandy,
my God.
What
okay,
happened?
Wait, I have to know. Did they tip you well?
I honestly don't remember. I blacked out. I do not remember because I was just mortified. It was like
story.
A low, low, low
I
point.
Hope they gave you at least 20% because you know that was expensed as well. But oh my God. Oh, that's wild. Yeah. So that mortified you. But were you still, even despite that, were you still like, nope, I did the right thing.
I did the right thing. But it was just this moment of being like, I will not. I was like, you know what? One day I will build. And this was only like 4 years ago. Like it wasn't that long ago. But I just remember in that moment feeling so small and like defeated. And like I just wanted to like curl up and hide behind the wall and like not have them see me and just be like, I'm done with this. Like one day I will figure out how to be successful and I'm going to make an impact. And people aren't going to like laugh at me and wonder like what I'm doing. Like I'm gonna make my mark.
I love that. Oh, I love that so much. All right. So for those of you listening, we're going to pivot over to Wade. If you listened to the episode before this, where I share my background and the dropout story and what happened on the plane home from Maui that ultimately made me quit my job the next day, you know, Wade's dropout story played a serendipitous role for me making that decision. So Wade, can you give us the story of what happened that ended your corporate career?
Yes. I'll say first, there was like this tug on my heart where I was like, I'm meant to do something more, something different. And I think when you feel that, when you something feels in alignment or you feel that tug or that intuition, like that literally is every cell in your body, like move towards this. Most of us suppress it because it's easier to stay complacent, to stay in what we're doing, to stay in the known, to stay in your comfort zone. But for me, I was like, I'm going to find something. Like, I'm going to figure something out. I started like listening to the podcast. And I remember being on a business trip back home, flying from New York to San Diego. And I was flying into San Diego. I'm listening to this podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire. It's like the number one entrepreneurship podcast. And this guy, Nick Unsworth, is on it. And I'm like, I like this guy's energy. He's magnetic. He's vibrant. Like, I got to look this guy up. I look him up. Oh, he lives in San Diego. I live in Laguna. We're like an hour away. I got to go find him. And then I was like, whoa, he's putting on a 3-day like coaching event mastermind this weekend in San Diego. And I was literally flying right in. I landed, I called, and it was that day that I was landing, and I called Sandy. I'm like, babe, I'll explain more. There's this guy, Nick Unsworth. I'm going to hire him as a coach. And like, I'm going to his event. And Sandy's just like, what? Well, okay, I'll see you when I get home. So I go right in my business suit from like my Wall Street meeting to this event. And I was just captivated by the coaching world, business coaching, and just like leveling up as a human being. And that was the tug. That was it. I had like the itch, and I was like, I don't even fully know what you do, to this guy, Nick, who's a coach, but teach me what you do. I want to hire you to like mentor me or whatever. And he was like, oh, I was ready to drop like $15,000 then and there right on the stage. And Sandy's like, well, we're getting married in 2 months. Can we make this decision after that? And I was like, okay, she talked some sense into me. But fast forward, I started to work with Nick. I ended up hiring them after our wedding. And I started to work with them on becoming a coach, basically, because I just wanted to help people. I didn't know what that looked like, but I figured here's the first step. And I realized 6 months into that, I set these huge audacious goals that scared the heck out of me. I had no idea how they would happen. I had imposter syndrome. Like, I'm not a coach. I've never coached anyone. How do I launch a business? How do I hit these goals? And in going through all that and putting in the work and going through the hard stuff and putting yourself out there and launching a coaching business and coaching your first few clients, just realizing, wow, like this thrill of like going for something, building your own brand and equity and company and all the things, this is it, and helping people. I realized Sandy was doing the same thing. There's a lot more to it than that, but she was basically helping people. She was a business coach and a health coach and a mindset coach, but she was leveraging herself. And I always had a vision of working with Sandy. So I'm like, whoa, I can either go build my own thing or I can partner up with Sandy. She already had built a foundation too. And so we partnered together and we started doing that. And I was double dipping. I'm working in finance, making the six figures still, working from home, double dipping, working with Sandy on our business, like our passion, our life. I knew that would be our future. And I was super passionate about it. I actually told my company, I'm like, hey, I'm doing my own thing. I'm going to quit. I'll see this project to the end. So they knew. It wasn't like this huge surprise. Sandy and I were super passionate. We put out some opportunity videos, some marketing videos on what we were up to. And Sandy put one on LinkedIn. So this is my last day of work. I'm going to tell them that story. Sandy put one on LinkedIn. She goes, hey, can you like it just so it would like blow out to more people in my network? And I said, yeah, sure. I didn't know how LinkedIn worked. I like it. It's literally an opportunity video of us super passionate about what we're doing, our entrepreneurial hustle. And it goes out to my whole network, like all my investors, my CEO, everyone, the lawyers, like all of Wall Street. And I get all these inboxes and I basically get a call that next morning and they're like, Wade, this call is being recorded. This is HR. This is official. Like, we saw the LinkedIn video and this is officially your last day of work. You have to close your laptop right now. Like, please ship it in, like no 2 weeks, all the things. And I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, do I get a chance to explain myself? I don't think you understand. And they're like, okay, off the record, what the heck? And we talked through it. By the end of it, they understood. They're like, oh, but you still know, like legally per your contract, you can't do other stuff. I know you told us, but now that it's out there and everyone can see it, we literally have to fire you. And so I basically got fired that day and I go to Sandy and I'm like, and she's like, did you just get fired? And I'm like, yeah. And I was super nervous because then it's like your back's against the wall. We go from two income family to one, but that was the push I needed, like off the cliff to just fall eventually, but eventually the wings like spread and fly. And so it was like the best moment because it has really like allowed us to elevate Sandy and I together.
Oh, I love that. Well, and I was going to ask you, like, how did you feel? But it sounds like even though it wasn't your
choice, I was nervous.
You still felt,
I felt,
but you felt relief.
I
though,
felt relief,
like.
But I felt scared, but relief. But I think like pressure is a privilege, right? Like I definitely felt pressure, but I was like, okay, I can either like crumble or I can like rise up. Like there's an opportunity right here.
Oh, I love that. All right. So Sandy, on the note of getting magnetic, you also shared a story with me when you guys were over here for dinner a couple months ago about what happened on the cruise right before this happened. Can you tell us quickly what happened at dinner right before this? Because this blew my mind.
Wow. Yes. So Wade and I were at a point in our business. This was right before he got fired. So it was like kind of perfect timing to level up in our network marketing business to the top level of management. And I was telling Wade, I'm like, we need to make this happen. And I'm very like, I have this vision for things that like don't even seem possible to most people. And I'm like, if you can dream it, you can do it. And Wade's like logical, numbers based. He needs data. Like we're very different in that way. And so I'm like, babe, we're going to do this by next month. And he's like, we would need to double our business. I'm like, okay. Like, so we're literally like, at the steak dinner, kind of like bickering back and forth about him being like, well, map it out for me. Show me how that's going to happen. I'm like, I can't show you how it's going to happen. You just have to trust. Don't you believe in magic? Like, no joke. Literally a minute later, this magician dressed in all black walks up to our table and he whips out a half dollar and he's like, do you guys see this? And we're like, yes. And then he like snaps his finger behind Wade's ear and it turns into a dollar coin. The whole message was about how like, you know, things can double. And I was like, how did this just happen in real life? And it was like a message from God, the universe. Like, I don't even know that. I was like, Wade, I don't know how much more you need to see, but that was literally a sign that this is happening. And it didn't happen the next month, but the month after, like we went into qualification and then it was a few months till we officially had the promotion. But,
I think we like ended up tripling, but yeah, I like wow. Needed to see proof. Sandy didn't. And I think that's leadership and entrepreneurship is like visionary, like seeing things before they're in front of you. And from that moment on, I just trusted kind of, but it was that sign like, okay, here we go.
I love it. All right. We're on to rapid fire.
Ooh.
So one of the things I admire most about the two of you is your discipline, your commitment to excellence. So Sandy, you reintroduced me to the Miracle Morning, which I had heard about like 7 years ago and had long forgotten about because I had to wake up at like 4 a.m. back then for work. So miserable. But now I've readopted it. It's literally changed my life. So give me like high level snippet. What does your morning routine look like?
We wake up together, usually at like 6. We make our bed together. We drink 20 ounces of water together because that's like an inner bath. We read together. We meditate. We write in our gratitude journal what we're grateful for. We both go in our offices and like look at our vision boards and spend a couple minutes visualizing like what we want our future to look like. And
maybe a little movement, morning walk or something, yeah. Yoga.
But usually like we don't look at our phones usually till like 9 a.m. So the first like 2 or 3 hours is just us like doing all these great things to set that foundation.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's amazing. I need to get better about the phone in the morning. That is definitely my weakness. All right. So rapid fire questions here. What do you think is the most underrated behavior or action for an entrepreneur?
Ooh, I think it is the willingness to just start, like just get going. Like so many people have the idea or this and that. A lot of people have ideas, but they never take action on it. Or they mistake like activity for progress. Or like, I'm going to make business cards or have like the really badass marketing video and get my website perfect. And then people are going to flock to me versus like, okay, what is my business? What if I just started talking to potential customers and just talking to people and see if it's viable and this, this, and that. And so the willingness to just take action and then the repeated action, like mastering the mundane. People think entrepreneurship and everything is sexy and it overall the lifestyle is, but entrepreneurs, successful ones, just master the mundane. They do what 99% of people aren't willing to do day after day after day and master that. And that adds up like the compound effect, compounding interest to that beautiful lifestyle entrepreneurship that you see on Instagram.
Yeah. All right, Sandy, this one's to you then. What's the most overrated behavior or action for an entrepreneur?
I don't know. Like, I literally don't even know how to answer that. I'm going to let you bounce that to you.
The most overrated. That is a good question. I think actually, to be honest, what I've learned is like grinding. Like you see Gary Vaynerchuk, like you just got to grind. You got to grind. Like, you definitely have to work hard, but it's really about working smart. It's like surrounding yourself with the right people, team, model after people who are successful before you. Like, it's not just about grinding and doing every last thing and putting in 20-hour days, because if you aren't feeling fulfilled and in like that high frequency yourself, you're not going to attract like the resources, all the things you need. So it's definitely hard work, but it's smart work. It's not just like wake up and grind all hours of the day.
Yep, I completely agree. And I feel like if you're in alignment, like your vocation should be a vacation, right? Like, it shouldn't feel like such a grind. Mm-hmm. Like, if you would do it for free, like, you know, you're doing the right thing. All right. So final question. I want to hear from each of you. If you could give quick advice to your 23-year-old self, what would it be?
Mine would be to just trust the process and just have this deep knowing that everything is working out for me and that I just have to trust the path. And there's going to be hard things that happen, but like, embrace it because it's building character.
Mine would be, if you want different, if you want an extraordinary life, you got to be willing to move different and do different things. And like, cause I was funneled into the typical, and ultimately now my life is different, but originally it was just follow that. If I adopted that earlier, I mean, I love where I'm at, but who knows? So I think it's like, if you want different, you got to move different. And the change starts within yourself. It's not the outside world. It's like, once you change, your world outside changes.
Oh, I love that so much. Well, thank you both so much for coming on the show today. This was such a fun first interview too.
So fun. Thank you for having us. Such an honor.
We're so proud to be a part of this.
And so proud of you for taking the leap, girl.
Well, you guys were a big part of that. So if you all didn't hear that story, go listen to that first episode on the background and you will hear it. But yeah, thank you to you guys for, I wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for you. So before we sign off, where can people connect with you? Where can they find your podcast, the planner, your health and wellness business, all that fun stuff?
Yes, you guys can connect with us on our website, sandyandwade.com, or Instagram. My handle is sandyclaws7 and Wade's is Wellness with Wade. You can grab yourself a 90-day habits journal. If you're in network marketing, this is a tool you absolutely need. You can grab that at 90dayhabits.co.
And then Getting Magnetic Podcast. If you're listening to this podcast, yeah, hop over there. We're excited for... we'll be interviewing Alessia at some point too, and we're excited for that. But thank you so much for having us, Alessia, and everyone, all the listeners out there.
Yeah, thank you guys. And you know, if you all haven't heard this quote, the great Jim Rohn, he said, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." I totally agree with that. I can say with complete confidence, since I met the two of you, I have definitely, absolutely leveled up my life. So thank you for that. And thank you for sharing your wisdom and your stories with us today.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the show. If today's episode added value to your life in some way, please subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and share it with someone who needs this. I'd love to connect with you on Instagram and hear how the show has inspired you. So tag me or slide into the DMs. Find me at Corporate Dropout Official or Alessia Citro. That's AlessiaCitro and 2 underscores. Until next time, remember that you're a badass. Stay focused, stay hungry, and dare to drop out.